Well, it is a beautiful morning. We're so thankful that you have come. And we're thankful that the Lord has blessed us with an opportunity to study His Word, to learn more about Him, and also for the privilege of being together as His children and studying and learning and getting to know each other. And it is very important that we continue always, each and every day, serving the Lord faithfully, because there's going to come a day, as we just sang. There's a great day coming. A great day coming. That's what we're going to be looking at this morning. If you're here this morning, you're visiting with us, we are so glad to have you. We really are. And if you will please hang around a little while after services, we'd like to get to know you a little better. And if you have any questions about anything that you hear taught or anything that you see practiced, anything at all, we'd be glad to talk with you about that. Also, I want to remind everyone, we're 2 weeks away from our gospel meeting. Jeff Ash will be here that Saturday afternoon, September 11th. And we're going to be having a singing. Todd Dennis will be down from Highway 65 in Conway and leading some of our singing. And there will be some others from around the area who will be here as well. And I don't know who all will take part in leading the singing, but I know that it will be a great opportunity to come and to worship and praise the Lord and be edified and encouraged and getting us kicked off in the right way for what I believe will be an excellent gospel meeting. Jeff Asher does an excellent job, and I'm looking so forward to it. And that's just 2 weeks from today. And song leaders, those of you who are interested in song leading and improving, there will be a class, I guess you could say, at 10:30, that's September 11th, Saturday morning. So hopefully you will make plans to be here for that. All right. Judgment Day surprises. You're there. Do you believe that as you stand there before the Lord, you will hear Him say to you, "Well done, good and faithful servant"? Do you believe that? If you were standing there right now, okay, don't say, "Well, you know, tomorrow I'm getting better and I'll be the person that I ought to be tomorrow. And when I stand before the Lord, I'll be able to hear, 'Well done, good and faithful servant.'" I'm not talking about next week or next month or next year. I'm talking about today, right now, as you stand right now. What would the Lord say to you? Are you a good and faithful servant? There will be a lot of people on the day of judgment who will be very surprised. I'm not saying that just because I believe that to be the case. That's what the Lord says in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21. He says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many, many will say to me in that day, 'Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name?' Many. And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity.'" Depart from me. They were expecting to hear the Lord say, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Look at all the good things you've done." That's not what they heard. There will be many surprised on the day of judgment. In Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. "Fear God, keep His commandments, for this is man's all. For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil." Friend, if you have secret sin in your life, and that doesn't refer to things that you're doing in ignorance necessarily, they can be included in that, but the idea is things that other people do not know about. Things that you do in your mind, in your own house that no other human being knows about. But I tell you who does. God does. He will bring every work into judgment. Some perhaps will be surprised to learn that lesson on the day of judgment. Be surprised to fully understand that God saw them while they were practicing these secret sins. In Acts chapter 17 and verse 30, truly, these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent, because He has appointed a day on which He will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom He has ordained. He has given assurance to this to all by raising Him from the dead. There is a day coming, a great day coming. The Lord has appointed that day, and the world will be judged by Jesus Christ. There's no question about that. That day is coming. And in Romans chapter 2 and verse 5, Paul says, "But in accordance with your hardness and your impenitent heart, you are treasuring up for yourself wrath in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God." God's judgment will be right. It will be fair. God's judgment will be, in verse 6 as he goes on, "who will render to everyone according to his deeds. Eternal life to those who have patient continuance in doing good, seek for glory, honor, and immortality. But to those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath. Tribulation and anguish on every soul of man who does evil, of the Jew first and also of the Greek, but glory, honor, and peace to everyone who works for what is good, to the Jew first and also to the Greek, for there is no partiality with God." All right, the day's coming. You're there. Every secret thing exposed. And you're standing before the Lord Jesus Christ, and there is no partiality with God. All right, you cannot say, "But look at Madonna, I'm better than her." You can't do that. That's not the way it works. God is going to judge you based upon your deeds, by your deeds. He is going to judge you as you. And sin separates from God. Those who work sin, those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth, indignation and wrath, then there will be no exceptions to that. My friend, if you're selfish, if you do not obey the truth, but that which is not right, indignation and wrath will be received on the day of judgment. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verses 9 through 11, "Therefore we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well pleasing to Him, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men." That day is coming, and we must all appear there. No exceptions. Every one of us will be there. And while we are there, we're going to receive the things done in our body according to what we've done, good or bad. No partiality with God. God's not going to grant you a pardon because you made more money, or because you had more fame, or because you had more prestige on this earth. I'm going to tell you right now, you're going to be standing there just like Obama's going to be standing there. We're all going to be standing there, and we're going to be judged based upon our deeds in accordance with the gospel of Jesus Christ. So, some folks are going to be surprised about that. Richard Dawkins, in his book, The God Delusion, he the whole book is blaspheming God, and talks about how ridiculous it is for people to believe in God, I'm going to assure you of something. When Richard Dawkins faces the Lord, if he doesn't repent between now and then, he's going to be surprised to learn that there is a God, a just God, who condemns him to hell. He's going to be surprised about that. Carl Sagan used to mock and ridicule the idea of believing in God, but I guarantee you he's a believer now. Carl Sagan passed away a few years ago. He is now a believer. There are no unbelievers after death. The atheist, the fool, has said in his heart, there is no God. The atheist will be surprised on the day of judgment to find out that there is a God and that there is a judgment. And the skeptic, 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 through 15. We looked at part of that passage beginning in verse 10, but you go back and you look at verse 1, it says, Beloved, I now write to you this second epistle, in both of which I stir up your pure minds by way of reminder, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before the holy prophets and of the commandments of us, the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lust and saying, Where is the promise of His coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they willfully forget, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of water and in the water, by which the word of the Lord existed, perished, being flooded with water. But the heavens and earth, which are now preserved by the same word, are preserved for fire until the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. The skeptic one day will be surprised to find out that the judgment, indeed, it's come. The idolater and the immoral. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verses 9 through 11. Paul says that those who practice such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And by the way, it's not just idolaters and immoral people. I mean, if you look at the list, this is something that we really need to think about here. Paul says, Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, immoral, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. Quite a list of things there. But if you turn over to the book of Galatians chapter 5, Paul, speaking of the same thing, in verse 19 he says, Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred. Oh, wait a minute. Let me stop at sorcery. Immoral and idolatrous practices. Those first few things there. But then he says, Hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissension, heresies, envy, then murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like. Of which I tell you beforehand, just as I told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. The professed unbeliever, from the Jewish perspective, those Gentiles out in the world, yes, they're going to be surprised on the day of judgment. Revelation 21 and verse 8, be cast into the lake of fire. The good moral man. What about the good moral unbeliever? Well, Acts 10, you have a good moral man, but he still needs to be saved. That's Cornelius. And in John 8 and verse 24, Jesus said, Except you believe that I am He, you will die in your sins. And Romans 3 and verse 23 says, For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 6, 23 says, The wages of sin is death. The good moral man. who is an unbeliever will be surprised on the day of judgment that his works were not enough. But what about the professed believer? You know, there are those who deny the reality of hell. Jehovah's Witnesses, Seventh-day Adventists, and other groups deny the reality of hell. But the Scriptures clearly teach the reality of hell. Matthew 10 and verse 28, Matthew 25, 41 through 46, Revelation 21 and verse 8, all those passages, Jesus is making it very clear. What about ourselves? Who should we fear? Should we fear those who are able to destroy the body, or God who is able to destroy both body and soul in hell? And Matthew 25, 41 through 46, Jesus calls this place a place of everlasting punishment. Eternal punishment. Or those who do not believe that God will allow people to go into hell. You know, why do people go to hell? Some want to point the finger at God and say, God is just unfair for throwing people into hell. That's not right for God to do that. Friend, it's not God that throws people into hell. It's people who go into hell by their own choice, by their own refusal to submit to that which is right, good, and holy. But God will certainly allow you to go there if that's where you want to go. If you refuse to submit to the will of the Lord, that's where you will go. Again, Matthew 24, 46. What about those folks who did not serve and help their brother, their neighbor, and their friend? Depart from me. In 2 Thessalonians 1, 7 through 9, those of you who are troubled, rest with us. When the Lord from heaven shall be revealed with His mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance, vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power. Those who do not believe that God will allow people to go into hell do not believe what the Scriptures say. There is the reality of judgment. Many will be surprised about that. Many will be surprised about the standard of judgment. The religious unbeliever, they're practicing religious things. They consider themselves religious. The idolater, the Hindu, and the Buddhist, they consider themselves very religious. And they look at the afterlife totally different than the Bible. They're going to be surprised that on the day of judgment, their religion is not what will judge them on the last day. Hebrews 11 and verse 6, it is impossible to please Him without faith. For whosoever cometh to God must believe that He is, and is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him, not something else or somebody else. The idolater, the Hindu, the Buddhist, etc., they are going to have a rude awakening on the judgment day. They're going to be surprised. The Muslim, the Jew, the Jehovah's Witness, the Mormon, those who adhere to false religion and reject Jesus Christ. In John chapter 3, everybody knows John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. But look at the next verse. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He who believes in Him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. My friend, people need to be saved from their sins, and the only way to do that is through the gospel of Jesus Christ. And those who have believed error, whether it be Islam or Judaism, friend, Jews, though I'm not talking about Jews who believe in Jesus, I'm talking about Jews who reject Jesus Christ. Friend, just like the Apostle Paul taught them, tried to tell them, tried to deliver them, Romans 9, 1 and 2, Romans 10, 1 through 4, and Galatians 5 and verses 3 through 4. They were lost, and He knew it. They're going to be surprised on the day of judgment. And those who deny the deity of Jesus Christ, they believe that Jesus was just an angel, or as the Mormons believe that God used to be a man like you and like me, that He grew up on a planet far, far away, and after He grew into Godhood, He was given His own planet. And that's us. Mormonism. Except you believe that I am He, Jesus said, you will die in your sins. The moralist. Good man. But the standard of judgment, my friend, is not the Quran. It's not the Old Covenant for us today. It's not the New World Translation of the Jehovah's Witnesses, and it's not the Book of Mormon. And it's not our works. Our works, it's not our own good deeds that will be the standard by which a human being is judged merely. It's not only what we do. Because, friend, if it was based merely, purely upon what we do, then not a one of us would be saved. Not a one of us. Romans 3:23, we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. If we were judged based purely upon our deeds, we would all be lost. And a moralist who does not believe in Jesus Christ is a sinner. Ephesians 2:8-9, seeing we're saved by grace through faith, and that not of ourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Our good deeds in and of themselves do not save us. On the day of judgment, God is not going to put you over here on one side and then look at the weight and make sure and see if your good deeds outnumbered your bad. It's not how it works. We're going to be judged by the gospel. Paul says, Romans 2 and verse 16. The gospel he preached. And the wages of sin is death. So the standard of judgment. Some folks will be surprised about that. There will be some professing believers who will be surprised on the day of judgment too. There are those who believe that their church is the authority in religion. And that their leader is the authority in religion. No, he's not. The Catholic Church, they have their Pope, but my friend, the Pope does not determine what's good or bad or right or wrong. God has done that. And God has revealed it to us in the New Testament. People will be surprised that it's not their catechisms that will judge them in the last day, but the words of Christ. John 12 and verse 48. The words that I speak to you, they shall judge you in the last day. Professing believers, those who are Protestant, but they hold to their creeds of men. They hold to these doctrines and theologies of men. They're going to be surprised on the day of judgment to find out that things are not like what they were taught in their creed books. They're going to come to find out. They're going to learn when they stand before the Lord that they had a free will and they should have chosen to search for God's truth. And they're going to learn that salvation is not by faith and faith alone and grace alone, but it must be accompanied by an obedient faith. Galatians 1:6 through 9, I marvel that you are so soon removed from Him that called you unto the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another. There's only one gospel. And those who pervert it, Bill made the point in Bible study this morning, that if you just change the gospel a little bit, it is no longer the gospel, and that's the truth. We will be judged not by the creeds and doctrines of men, Matthew chapter 15, verses 7 through 9. The Lord, in fact, told those scribes and Pharisees that as they're trying to worship God according to the doctrines and commandments of men, they will be rejected. So, there will be a surprised individual on that day. Not faith only. Not morality, not sincerity, not our feelings, and not even our religious acts. Those things are not the standard. Faith only. James chapter 2 tells us, in fact, if you go to James 2 and you look at verse 14, what does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? That's the question. James then proceeds to answer, no, it can't. Faith only cannot save you. Our morality. We must have faith. We must be moral. We must be sincere. We must have the right feelings. We must love and we must forgive and all of those things. And we must do those things that the Lord has instructed. But my friend, just because you've done a bunch of religious things and just because you feel a certain way does not mean you're saved. Acts chapter 23, verse 1. Acts 24 and verse 16. You know, the Apostle Paul, I think, is an excellent example or illustration of the point here that I'm trying to make. The Apostle Paul was a man who, he says, lived in good conscience before God until this day. Acts 23, verse 1. He was a man that strove to submit to God's will as he understood it. Acts 24 and verse 16. It says, this being so, I myself strive to have a conscience without offense toward God and men. But he also says that he is the greatest of sinners. He persecuted the church of God. He tried to destroy it. Because he was sincere in thinking that that faith was false. He was sincere. He felt that what he was doing was right. And he performed religious acts in accordance with the law. He believed God. He was a moral man. But he was lost. Professed believers, there will be many folks on the day of judgment that will find out that they're lost. And what about the recipients of judgment? Every accountable unbeliever, the atheist, the modernist, the humanist, the skeptic, etc., all of them, Romans 1, verses 18 through 32, that text tells us, and gives a whole list of sins there as well, but it tells us that those folks are worthy of death. Atheists, modernists, humanists, skeptics, they will all stand before the Lord and be condemned. Idolaters, immoral, ungodly, materialists, all condemned. those who are religious, the accountable unbeliever here, those who are religious but religiously wrong, they may be moral in their view, they may be benevolent and relatively good people, but they do not believe the gospel of Jesus Christ, they do not believe in Christ, and they do not follow Christ. They will be recipients of the judgment of God. What about those who think they are saved? Let me suggest something to you. Just because I think that I'm saved does not mean that I am. Just because you think you're saved does not mean that you are. Is it possible that you and I could be wrong? It's possible, but I will tell you this. The Bible's not. The Word of God isn't. And if we continually place our faith and our trust in the Word of God, then we can have confidence. Every pseudo-believer, that is false believer, those who preach false doctrine, those who preach error, will stand before the Lord. And that, by the way, would include me. If I am preaching error, that will include me. If I preach false doctrine, if I preach error, then I'm going to have to stand before the Lord and I'll be judged. And I'll be condemned. You know why I believe that? Because that's what the Bible says. Turn with me to 2 Peter. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul does talk about how false apostles turn themselves or try to turn themselves into Christ and to sheep. Yes, they are wolves in sheep's clothing. But in the book of 2 Peter chapter 2, my pages are sticking together here. The apostle Peter, first of all, says about false teachers that there were false teachers or false prophets among the people. There will be among you. But notice what he says about them. Who secretly bring in destructive heresies, who even deny the Lord who bought them, and bring on themselves swift destruction. And you go on down through the context there. Look at verse 17. These are wells without water, clouds carried by a tempest, for whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. False teachers. And by the way, these false teachers in 2 Peter chapter 2, these are men who, if you'll go on and you'll look, you'll see that they had been bought by the blood of Christ. Bought by the blood of Christ. They're in verse 1. Even denying the Lord who bought them. They had turned away from the truth. And they led people away from the truth. Those who believe false doctrine. Right there in the same context in 2 Peter chapter 2. Look at verse 19. Verses 18 and 19. For when they speak great swelling words of emptiness, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through lewdness, the ones who have actually escaped from those who live in error. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are slaves of corruption. For by whom a person is overcome, by him also is he brought into bondage. And Jesus did say that if the blind lead the blind, both will fall into the ditch. And so you have a false teacher who is teaching someone who is, in fact, in this context, come to learn the truth. They had actually escaped from the error of the world. And they were now in Christ, but then they were led astray. They were led astray with false promises, through lust of the flesh, through lewdness. So, those who believe false doctrine will stand before the Lord. All who do not know God and do not obey the gospel. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 7 through 9. those of you who are troubled, rest with us. Christians who are going through persecution and trials, you rest. Rest your hope upon what the Lord has promised you. Because He's going to take vengeance, Paul says. The Lord is coming back. And He will take vengeance upon all those who do not know God and that do not obey the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. My friend, listen. If you're here this morning and you do not know God and you have not obeyed the gospel, I don't want you to stand before the Lord on the day of judgment in that condition. The Lord has provided salvation. The Lord has provided a means of escape from hell. He's provided it for every one of us. The blood of Jesus Christ was shed not just for us, but He is the propitiation for the whole world. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 2 says, Jesus died for you so that you would not be condemned for an eternity. Those Bereans in Acts 17 and verse 11, they searched the Scriptures daily. They had a noble, they had a good heart. And they searched the Scriptures daily to see whether those things that they were being taught were so. Those are the kind of people that when they stand before the Lord on the day of judgment, they will hear, good and faithful servant, enter in to the joy that's been prepared for you. Those who search the Scriptures and search for God and obey His will, there are false teachers. There are those who believe error. And friend, we need to realize ourselves that we too could be led astray. We need to understand, we need to realize that truth is valuable. Jesus said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." John 8:32. Those who have not confessed Christ as the Son of God. What does Jesus say? If you confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father in heaven. But if you deny me before men, I will deny you. John 3:16-18. Again, God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Jesus came so that we could have life. John 12 and verse 42, Jesus there, or it is said there, "Nevertheless, even among the rulers, many believed in Him, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess Him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. For they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God." Those who have not confessed Christ as the Son of God will be condemned. Those who do, the Lord will profess us before the Father. Those who have not repented, Luke 13:3-5, "Except you repent, you shall all likewise perish." Friend, I don't care who you are. If you have not turned to God, away from sin, if you are not striving to live for Him, then you will be lost. That's not what I want for you. Acts 17 and verse 30, "This ignorance God winked at, but now commands all men everywhere to repent." And God has appointed that day where we will be judged. "Except you repent, you shall all likewise perish." Those who have not been baptized into Christ. Acts 2 and verse 38, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins." Your sins must be forgiven to enter heaven. That's what's separating you from God. Isaiah 59 verses 1 and 2. "Your sins and your iniquities have separated between you and your God." Romans 6, verses 3 through 6, we're buried with Him into baptism. We're buried into His death. We come in contact with His blood. And in Colossians 2, 12 and 13, that's when God cuts the sins of the flesh away. And in 1 Peter 3:21, baptism doth also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer or the appeal to God for a good conscience. My friend, there are many in this world today who are taught, who are told that it doesn't matter what you do. It doesn't matter how you live. It doesn't matter what you believe. You'll go to heaven anyway. My friend, that's not the truth. We must believe the truth that God has revealed through Christ. You see, judgment begins with God's people. 1 Peter 4:17 says, "And we will all stand before the judgment seat of Christ." 2 Corinthians 5:10. And those who have obeyed the gospel, but they return to the world, what about them? And that's not 2 Tom there either. That should be 2 Timothy 4 and verse 10. Those who left Paul went back into the world. James 4 and verse 4 says, "The adulterers and adulteresses." By the way, James is talking to Christians. He's talking to brothers in Christ in James 4 and verse 4 when he says, "You adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that friendship with the world is enmity with God? And whosoever makes himself a friend of the world is an enemy of God." Those who do not walk in the light and turn from the truth, 1 John 1:5 through 10, "For God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin." Walk in truth. My friend, if we turn from the truth and we walk in darkness, the day will come when we will stand before the Lord and we will hear those words, "Depart from me." In James chapter 5 and verses 19 and 20, those who are faithful have a great responsibility and duty. When we see brethren walking away from the Lord, James says this, "Brethren, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone turns him back, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sins." Every erring believer . If the Lord came today and you were called to appear before Him, by the way, Luke 18:9 through 14, okay, there was a man who thought if the Lord came today He would be just great because he fasted twice a week, he gave a tenth of everything he had. He observed every rule and regulation in the law, so he thought. And he was at the temple and he was praying, "Lord, I thank you that I'm not like this publican over here." I wonder if there are going to be some people on the day of judgment thinking that they're right in the sight of God, and they're standing there and they're also thinking about this other fellow over here. "Well, that just wasn't a very good Christian. Didn't think much of this other fellow. Thought awful lot of himself." You think that some may be surprised to find out that some are going to get in when they themselves will be rejected because of their self-righteous attitude? I think that some folks will be shocked on the day of judgment, because people they don't think ought to go in will get in, and people that they think ought to be in is not allowed in. Like themselves, self-righteous hypocrites. What about innovators or cold formalists just going through the motions? those who transgress the doctrine of Christ, those who harbor hatred in their heart for other people, those who are simply unprepared, Matthew 25, 1 through 30, for those who are lukewarm. What did Jesus say about Laodicea? If you don't repent, the Lord said He would spew them out of His mouth. Every erring believer. My friend, the judgment day is coming. And if you are a faithful child of God, you're trusting in the Lord, you're obedient to His instructions, you love like you should, you're diligent in growing and serving, and you're persevering each and every day, you're patient, what surprise will you receive? I don't think you'll be surprised that heaven is gained, but I am confident that we will be very surprised at the beauty, the grandeur, the awesomeness of it. Because I don't think there's any way that a human being with his finite mind can understand or comprehend it on this side of eternity. And we're allowed to enter into heaven, I think that we're going to be amazed. But my friend, if you're not a trusting child of God, if you're not obedient and loving and diligent and persevering, you won't get in. You're there on the day of judgment. And, you know what? We don't know when. It could be right now. A lot of people will be surprised about the time. For He will come as a thief in the night. No one knows the day or the hour. You don't know. And I'll tell you something else. There'll be some surprise for the purpose. Jesus isn't coming back to establish a kingdom over the earth and rule, like I heard a fellow talking about on radio this morning. He's coming back to judge mankind and bring this world to an end. Are you ready? What if the Lord came right now? I was watching a video the other night, and the preacher was preaching that very point. What if the Lord came right now? Of course, you could tell it was a premillennial church, because he was preaching and all of a sudden he was gone and a whole bunch of other people were gone. It was just a few folks sitting there. That's not the way it will be, but I will say this. If the Lord comes back right now, are you ready? You can be. Take advantage of the opportunity. If you've never obeyed the gospel, do it. If you are not living as you should, get right. Whatever you need, whatever it takes, do it while you have opportunity. 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 2, today is the day of salvation. Won't you come as we stand and sing?